our focus this morning is the traffic management plan. And the one thing I want to emphasize is, before we get started, this plan was put together. We had consultants that were engaged. In particular, Parker Brinkerhaus has been very helpful to us in putting this whole thing together. The city of Minneapolis, the neighborhood organizations, the business organizations were all represented on a committee, along with a lot of folks from everything from Med Transit to the Sheriff's Department to the Police Department and all the city folks. I think we had a really, it was a very long process that we engaged in, and we wanted to make sure that we really worked it through with all the interest groups so that, number one, nobody was surprised when it finally was done, and number two, people felt like they had input and everyone kind of knew where it was we're going. So obviously, as you look at these big events with the size and scale of this facility, while the number of seats in this stadium are pretty much similar to the Metrodome, obviously traffic and everything else will be somewhat different given the footprint of the building and how it sits. So it was a very involved process. It was a lengthy process, and I think it obviously put together, working with all the interest groups, a plan that should work. With that, I'm going to turn it over. Patrick Tolte is our general manager. He's with SMG, which is the company that the authority has hired to manage the stadium on our behalf, and he and all his folks have been very involved in this whole process as we put together the traffic management plan, and it's kind of what they do, and obviously the Vikings have been very involved as well. So I'll turn it over to Patrick.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming out on a topic that sometimes people don't think is very exciting, but we think it's very exciting. So we're excited to talk about transportation management plan and our overall planning and everything. As Michelle mentioned, the traffic management plan, and I'm kind of in the way, so I'm going to kind of move a little bit. I'm a walker when I talk, so I apologize if I get in your way and I'm not in the camera shot all the time. Traffic management plan took over 11 months of planning and development. This is about a good timing that it takes. We want to make sure that we take everything into consideration and really work hard at making sure that we uncover everything. As Michelle mentioned, the seats in this stadium are about the same as they were in the Metrodome, but as you know, this site has changed drastically. With all the development in and around Easttown and around the stadium, what the stadium has developed and caused in the development, this site is very different. The parking around is very different, so we wanted to make sure that we really looked at this to make sure that we understood how that had affected parking and what the change was. A TMP, just so you know, covers many things. It covers the demographics. It covers parking, pickup, drop-off locations. It involves bicycle routes, Uber, Lyft, things like that, the community involvement. You have to look at all that and take all that into consideration when you're developing your traffic management plan. And obviously here we have the fortunate, unique situation where we have a light rail system that drops right off at the stadium. So you had to take that into consideration as well. And the reason why we're here today and what we're asking for, and this is the part that's really crucial, is we're asking for your help. We're asking for the media's help to get the word out about the traffic management plan, that we have developed something and that we've looked at all the different ways to make the fans' experience better. And this is why we want to engage you all and why we're asking your help to get that word out so that people know where to go to get the information, what the information may be, and how easy it actually is. And we've tried to make the traffic management plan very easy so folks will engage in it and it won't be confusing. As Michelle mentioned, we engaged many consultants. Parsons Brinkerhoff was the main consultant. They've done Dallas and a few other NFL stadiums' traffic management plan. They do have a local office here on Nicolet, so it was very nice to have some local presence as well. The Sports Facilities Authority and the Minnesota Vikings obviously partnered with the project to make sure that this got off. SMG, some of our other consulting groups, all were an important part of this whole development of this plan. So I want to thank all of them for their hard work and their 11 months of very tiring work. And also we want a big shout out to the city. The city was massively involved, very supportive, and was very integral in making this traffic management plan happen. I won't go through this whole list. This is just some of the things that we look at when we develop a traffic management plan overall. As you can see, there's lots of points of consideration. There's lots of things we look at, and we try to engage and look at all the different contingencies, interest groups, and planning that you need to go into a traffic management plan. Community participation was always very important. Having a community focus on the traffic management was a key component that the Vikings and the authority put forth to the consultants and to us. So we had lots of community involvement at the planning and working through the plan. But then we also had community meetings with like Elliott Park, Easttown, the Downtown Minneapolis Neighborhood Association. So we've gone and met with them and talked about this plan. So they know what's coming. And we talked and listened to the, what questions do they have and some unique things about their neighborhoods that may or may not affect the plan overall. The other thing that's really important is this is a new plan. It's a new way of operating because, as I mentioned, this site has changed drastically. So taxi cab drivers, and now with the Uber and Lyft taking over so much more of that traffic from taxis, things like that, we had to plan around that. But you also have to train them in what the traffic management plan is. So we've been the last 3 months going through, and we've been talking to our taxi cab drivers. We've been talking to the bicycle community. We've been talking to Uber, Lyft. We've been talking to the pedicab folks. All those individuals, we've been training them and talking with them and teaching them about what the traffic management plan is and how we thought about them and how we included them. We also obviously have been working with Minneapolis Police Department and the traffic control agents and training them in all of the intersection timings, the intersection setups, and making sure that we can safely get people across the streets and all the intersections and things like that. So we've been really working hard on a lot of educational of people. We've also been working very hard on educating our staff so that folks inside the building will know what the traffic management plan is, so then they can properly educate the fans when they leave the building. Because we get them in, we also have to get them back out, and we want to make sure that we educate the staff so they know how to help fans. This is all about the customer experience and making sure that we provide a great customer service for the fans and that this is an easy way for them to get in and out of the building. So the first thing on a traffic management plan is parking. We want to talk about parking today. What we did, and this is kind of goes, I'm going to give you a little background, and then we'll kind of drill into kind of the new plan. But this right here is we evaluated and looked at where the fans were coming from based upon event data and zip code analysis of the Viking season ticket holders, as well as Feld motorsports ticket holders, and looking at their where people come from. So as you can see, the 7-county metro area here, you can see the different percentages where people come from, all the different directions. And the nice thing is it's somewhat pretty evenly coming from all the different directions, which is actually helps with the, you know, looking at the highway system and looking at the different parking lots within and within the city of Minneapolis. And then what we did was, as you look at that, we talked about the 7-county metro area and all those percentages coming in on the different roads. And then on here, you can see what we've done. And I'm going to step away from the mics, and I apologize. But as you can see, we've developed a four-area zone, what we call zone parking. And the idea of this is that you look at the areas that the percentages of people are coming from the area. So let's just take the west. So you take the southwest metro, and you come in from the southwest, and you're coming up, whether it be 35W or you're coming in 394, you look at those areas, and then you say, okay, those people are going to approach downtown on those highways, and then they'll come in and they'll park in the blue zone. And we've looked at the parking in those zones and said, okay, based upon the percentages of people that are coming in from this way, the available number of parking that's in those zones, can we handle the parking needs of the people that are approaching in there? And so we look at all that. Within a 20-minute walk zone of the stadium, there are 32,000 spaces available for parking. That is those zones, color zones that you see there. And in each of those zones, looking at the percentage breakdown of how people approach the stadium and looking at the highways and how they'll actually approach the downtown, we have excess parking in all those zones for people to achieve. So what we will end up doing is we'll tell people, okay, if you're coming from a certain direction, you'll park in this zone. We can give you a list of all the available parking lots in that zone. And this is available licensed parking. It's not the private lots. We didn't count, you know, individual buildings or, you know, apartment buildings or anything like that. That's actually available licensed parking for for daily parking pay for that we looked at. And so, and we'll cover this a little bit later when we get into some of the communication, but we're actually develop a website that people can actually log in. It'll be interactive. They'll actually be able to log in where they're coming from, and then it'll give them kind of that list of where they could park. It's not necessarily like it tells you exactly where to go. It doesn't tell you you should go to this ramp on 5th and, you know, corner of 5th and 6th or anything like that. It gives you the list of it. So then people can look at the parking and they can choose where they like to try to park in. That also gives them the ability to choose the different parking rates. Because as you can see, we have in every one of these zones, we have parking that's close to the stadium that will be more expensive, obviously, for the lot owners. And then further out will be less expensive. So everyone will have the opportunity to choose what price level they want to park in, depending on how far they want to walk and that kind of thing. So this is really a key, important point that we want to get across to everyone, that we have the parking zone. So no longer do people have to kind of drive around downtown, hunt and pick, and look for available parking spots. We're going to try to make it very easy, very interactive with the fans and with the guests, and that they can log on, figure out the list of the spots to park in, and then they can go to those spaces, and then they don't have to cross traffic and congestion and stuff like that. And then obviously getting back out of the stadium will be very easy, because they'll be in this zone, and then they'll go back out the same way that they came. So it'll be very easy. And this, the plan was developed for all events, not just the Vikings season games, but it's also concerts, our soccer game, Monster Truck, Supercross, things like that. So it was very important that we have kind of a singular plan that the fans could get used to, patrons could get used to, and the customer experience would be very beneficial. What we did here is we wanted to give you just kind of a snapshot of the gold, and this is really just really more of an example of the detail that goes into this. So you can see we look at every road that touches that gold area, and we look at all the approaches, and we look at all the parking lots, and we see the parking demand, and we sit and we look at that this zone, and we figure out, you know, it obviously has the river as some of its constraints, so we start to look at the parking demand within that zone. We look at the approach, we look at the rows that are coming and the percentages, and make sure that that wall works. So there's a lot of detail that goes in behind this, and the traffic management plan is a manual that's like this thick when it's all said and done, and it has all of these plans, you know, very detailed. And so we just wanted to give you a quick snapshot so you could see the work that was going in behind this. So I will turn it over to a second for Lester Bagley, who will talk about tailgating, which is very specific to the Vikings events.
You know, Parsons Brinkerhoff, one of the top traffic analysts in the country. Their expertise is in sports and stadiums and arenas and planning parking and traffic. So they were hired by the project to help us out, and they did a great job. But a couple stats that I think it's important. First of all, the Vikings have more than 50,000 season ticket owners, and 76% of them are in Minnesota. That means 24% of our season ticket owners are outside of the state of Minnesota. And then within Minnesota, we have our season ticket owners, 57%+ reside in the Twin Cities metro area, which means 42% come from outside or greater Minnesota. So the point is that we have fans coming from all directions, all freeways, and that's what this plan, this zone plan, is based on. Based on, as Patrick said, zip codes for our games, zip codes of our season ticket owners, freeway access points, and then balancing out parking, available parking with parking needs. So the goal is to obviously to assist the traffic flow and balance the parking. Just one other quick point about Vikings season ticket owners and single game buyers. We also know where our season ticket owners and our single game buyers sit in the stadium. So we'll match up the parking in the various zones based on where their ticket is in the stadium. So they'll be able to access the right gate and be efficient getting to their seat. So our season ticket owners will have the opportunity to purchase season-long parking. That opportunity will develop here in the next couple of weeks in mid-July. And similarly, our single-game buyers will have an opportunity to buy single-game parking as well, again, based on zones, based on where they come from, and based on where their tickets are. So a couple quick points about tailgating. And as many of you know, tailgating is an important tradition that the Vikings have honored since 1961. It started back at the old Metropolitan Stadium, where our fans were in the parking lot before the games. They came early, they stayed late, and it began this tradition that has continued to this day. So when the legislation to finance the stadium passed in 2012, part of our battle and our energy went toward making sure that we continue this tradition of tailgating for our fans. So we began, it was actually included in the term sheet for the development agreement for the stadium, that there would be honored, that we would honor tailgating and we'd actually expand the opportunity for tailgating for our fans. So over the last 4 years since the bill passed in May of 2012, we began to work with the city, city leadership, with the neighborhoods and the community to build consensus on where can we have this tailgate activity. So the development in this area, the Easttown area, has been significant, and a lot of the surface parking lots have disappeared. And so there's also with U.S. Bank Stadium and all the amenities that are coming along with it, including the downtown East Commons, the new park, the Medtronic Plaza. There's also going to be some game day activity on the medical examiner property. So there's going to be a lot of activity. So the game day experience has obviously evolved with U.S. Bank Stadium, but there's still a demand for traditional tailgating. And so we believe that we've met that demand. This initial demand is more than 600 spaces will be available, and our ticket office will be going out to those tailgaters that have tailgated in the past, also going into our season ticket owners and saying, here's an opportunity to continue that tradition. There's also an ability to expand to if we need to, if it goes more than 600. And the last thing I'd say is just the process. Our ticket office will deal directly with our tailgaters, and this is an important demand. There's a lot of people that are anxious about this process, and we have identified the lots and the spaces. We'll reach out to our ticket owners and our tailgaters and start to provide those spaces. The other important point to make is the regulation that. There is a zone. This yellow district here is the new tailgate zone. The red was the previous zone. So this new tailgate zone, this yellow district, that is by city ordinance that was passed by the city council a few weeks ago to secure that area. So if you're a tailgater or if you're a lot owner, there are very specific rules you have to live by. You have to provide restrooms, cleanup, and security, and so it's a very regulated process, but it's also a time-honored tradition that we wanted to continue. There were 4 years of work and energy have gone into this map, working with the city, working with the neighborhoods, to develop those 600-plus spaces. So that's probably enough on tailgating, Patrick.
Many of you probably are wondering, because we do have a September 1st Vikings preseason game that we also have a Twins game as well. This parking plan does take into account a Twins game happening simultaneously with an event at the stadium, and the parking demands are still met. So for both facilities. The other thing, the question that always comes up is, what about snow? Obviously, we live in Minnesota. It may snow, as shocking as that may sound to you. This plan does take into account snow removal and snow plans. The nice thing is the stadium's actually in between two emergency snow removals, so those streets will be removed. Those streets will be cleared, and then because we have been working with the city and the traffic management plan, having events will actually look at how do we make sure that we clear the areas that we need to support this traffic management plan. So we actually have been working very in congruency with the city on the snow. So that it won't be, if people, we have snow event happen, we still have the ability to host events and the traffic management plan doesn't get altered. We still work on that. The next area that's really important is pickup drop-off zones. This is one that for the fan experience is very important. Once they get here to the facility, we've talked about the parking coming from all the seven county area. We talked about getting into downtown. We talked about the parking zones, the parking available. We talked about how they get into that, they get into those lots and how they'd be available and get, 20-minute walk into the stadium. Now we've gotten them into the stadium. Now we need to get them out. The other thing, too, is we know that about 32%, based upon the environmental impact study done in 2013, attend events here at the stadium by other modes of transportation, Uber, Lyft, Metro, taxis, bikes, things like that. So that experience needs to be looked at, too. And this is what this does. So not only are we worried about that 32% coming into the stadium, but now we have to worry about all the people that are in the stadium and when they get back out. So this is our pickup and drop-off plan. As you can see, it's very detailed, and it looks at all the different modes of transportation and how do we set them up in the facility, in and around the facility, so they can, one, get out quickly. Our staff knows where to send people, because how frustrating it is if you say, hey, where can I get a taxi? And our staff sends them out the wrong door, and that's not where the taxi stand is. So it's very important, and that happens, unfortunately. So it's very important that we actually have a cohesive plan that's set up for each and all of our major events that the staff will know, hey, taxis will actually be set up on the corner of 6th and Park, right by the medical examiner's building. Obviously, that's where it'll be set up for those major events. And we'll have guest service folks out there to help kind of get that staging, get people in line, and that kind of thing. So for all the major events, taxi will be out there. So people will know confidently I can go out there and get a taxi and get on my way. We've been working with Uber, Lyft. You know, the ride share program has become very popular in Minneapolis, something that's been used a lot, obviously, across the country. And so we actually have worked partnering with them, and we've geofenced the stadium. So the pin, as you know, when you request your Uber, it drops a pin where you're standing. The pin will be dropped here for our major events. When we turn it on, you may be on the other side of the facility, and your pin won't drop there. It'll drop back over on that side. That's actually a feature that Uber Lyft has, and we've been working in partnership with them so that we don't have Uber drivers driving around trying to find people and people getting confused and where do I go and that kind of thing. It's worked very, very well in other stadiums, and obviously this will be a huge, I think, benefit for our patrons. We've looked at the ADA drop-off areas. We have kind of town card type pickups, so a few of those. And then obviously we look at our charter bus staging, because for Vikings games we have a lot of people who arrive in charter buses. And this is a program run through the city. It's the same program that was run at the Metrodome. Has not changed in really in concept. We've just made sure that we've allowed enough space for it and also allowed for overflow charter bus parking. So those meters will be bagged by the city, and those charter buses actually buy a permit from the city in order to park in those spots. The other thing is obviously we have our metro rail, our transit metro that drops off right in front of the stadium. The Vikings and the Metro Transit put in a new pedestrian bridge that goes over the tracks. That will be a huge benefit for us loading and unloading the stadium so that people don't have to cross the track. They can actually go over this bridge, and it keeps the headway going for our trains. So we have a very quick and efficient process. But as the trains fill up and there is, and we don't have, you know, the trains have gone, we have backup Metro Transit staging. So Metro Transit will actually have buses available that they can then load and get people further out onto the blue and green lines out to further stations, knowing that more people will ride them in than there is on the exit, because everyone wants to leave at one time. So Metro Transit has been a great partner. They're working very hard, very actively to help us in preparing for the people and helping us make sure that we have great line setup, good queue management, and planning for this excess people in these buses and stuff like that. So once again, this is one of the important points that we're asking your help with, is that we do have this cohesive pickup drop-off areas, and this will be on our website, and these will be listed on our website. People will be able to see this. Our staff will know it. It's in their trainings. They'll have maps that they can show people. So that this is a very, a plan that they'll understand and make it simple for fans to go to. They know where to go to get their rides. Bicycles. Obviously, bicycles are big in Minneapolis. So this was very important to look at this. So our bicycle plan, the most important points, I think, is that bike lanes will remain open during events. We have not closed any bike lanes in and around the stadium. So people who want to come to the stadium or pass by the stadium will be able to do so with bikes. We have 188 complimentary bike racks on site in and around the stadium in three different areas of the stadium that people will be able to park their bikes. So we're encouraging people to ride bikes to the stadium, and they'll be able to lock their bikes up. There is a ride share, for those who are wondering, there is a ride share. You know, the nice ride, it's on the corner of 11th and 2nd. That is the closest ride share to the stadium, so I'm sure that will be utilized as well. So we worked with the biking community, worked with the city very closely to envelop this biking plan here. Public transit, as I mentioned earlier, Metro Transit, and this slide really just kind of gives you this is the lines and everything. Really what we wanted to reinforce here is that taking the light rail to events will be good. It will work. The nice thing is Metro Transit's been planning. They've been working hard. You know, obviously the blue and the yellow line, it drops right off in the front of the stadium. You'll be able to walk right. It will come right up to the right into the doors, and then you'll be able to get right back out, and then there's those overflow buses that we've been planning. And obviously we have with the Vikings and Metro Transit building that new pedestrian bridge, that will benefit not only large events, but all of our smaller events, such as high school football, high school baseball, you know, the home show, things like that we have. We now have very safely for people to ride the Metro Transit, take the bridge, and come over into the stadium and don't have to worry about crossing the street nor the rail tracks, and that'll make sure that they get in and out of the building very, very, very safely. And this was a very important point for the Vikings and the Metro Transit, so we were very happy that was built. Communication. My third and final most important point here is, how do we tell people? Obviously, number one, the reason you're here today, media support. We want to get the word out to everyone as much as we can. And what we want to make sure that we really tell people is that they go to usbankstadium.com or thevikings.com and look up for this information on the website and get this information. And correct me if I'm wrong, I believe we will have this information up and ready to go on our website. Yep, we will have this information ready to go. So people will be able to log on and see this information we've been talking about. Now, that interactive site that I talked about, where people be able to type in their, you know, like, I'm coming from Chanhassen, or I'm coming from you know, Woodbury, or something like that. That will come later. That's still being built, and there will be a link off of both of these sites that will link you to those. Also, obviously, social media, the U.S. Bank Stadium social media, Viking social media, will be pushing out a lot of messaging as we get closer to events to people, reminding them about the traffic management plan, where to go to get information, using all of our digital assets. Obviously, as Lester talked about, the Viking season ticket members, they'll be getting emails. The Vikings app will be very crucial for communication during their events. The U.S. Bank Stadium app will have some information on it as well for other events, for concerts, soccer, and things like that. We are working with the neighborhoods for neighborhood event notifications, so the neighborhoods know that events are coming. Businesses know that events are coming, and that, you know, we'll have the traffic management plan in place and that kind of thing, so we'll be working with them. And then also, very importantly, we'll have in-stadium communication. Because as I talked about, it's great to get everyone here, but one of the things that's important is we need to communicate with them when they're in the building, so when they leave, they know where to go find the taxis, the Ubers, the Metro Transit, even just remember where my parking spot was. We need to help them remember that. So it'd be very important for us to have in-stadium communication as well. So this is very important. Once again, I want to hit this. You know, we want people to go to usbankstadium.com and vikings.com to get information about the traffic management plan. Conclusion, just kind of wrapping up. It was developed by professionals, a lot of consultants, a lot of hours went into this, as you can see, a lot of detail behind it. It had a neighborhood involvement, very focused on the neighborhood and the community, bike lanes. The city worked very hard with us on this whole thing. U.S. Bank Stadium will host about 10 to 20 major events a year that will have this traffic management plan in place. That includes the Vikings, but it includes other things like soccer, monster trucks, supercross, concerts. You know, as you know, we have our Chelsea versus AC Milan on August 3rd. We have Luke Bryan on August 19th and Metallica on August 20th. So we're very excited about those events, and this traffic management plan will be in place for that, as well as for the Vikings games that are coming up right after that. This is a living, breathing document, so as we go along, the city and us and Parsons Brinkerhoff and all the consultants will be evaluating its success and making changes as we go along, not only with the development in downtown, but also how people approach the stadium, or if more people start to ride Metro and different things like that, this plan will be able to be changed and morphed and address those what you need.